Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, September 1st, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. And happy early Labor Day to anybody who's listening to this. Labor Day is tomorrow at the time of this recording. I have the day off from my shoot job, which I'm very thankful for. And I also actually had this entire last week off of work. Took some paid time off, went to the casino for a few days. And yeah, had a really good time. Did the spotlight with Jeremy on Thursday. Make sure to check that out over on the main Fightful YouTube channel. Always appreciate y'all for watching the spotlight and, of course, listening to this show right here on Fightful Select, that being the Weekender Podcast. Now, before I get into everything, I want to give a quick plug to a big event happening on Netflix on September 2nd, which is tomorrow on Labor Day. I'm not endorsed or sponsored to tell y'all about this, but Joey Chestnut versus Kobayashi is on Netflix September 2nd. It will be live, and, of course, you can watch it on demand afterwards as well. Just wanted to throw that out there. If y'all know me, you know I'm a big Joey Chestnut fan. He killed it on the 4th of July this year, even though he wasn't in the official Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. He did his own thing and still put down 57 hot dogs in 5 minutes. So the 10-minute, as usual, countdown will be happening tomorrow against Kobayashi, his longtime rival. So, you know, the world's a professional eating in professional wrestling are actually very similar in certain ways, and I'm obviously a fan of both, so wanted to make sure to give that a plug before we got into the topics for today's episode. And we do have a lot to talk about in the world of pro wrestling this week, so without any further ado, here are the topics, and we'll jump right into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for NWA 76, GCW, Live Fast, Die Young, Revolver, two shows, we have Fight Club and Taste of Truth, we had MLW Summer of the Beasts, we have some TNA Impact spoilers. I don't have the full set of spoilers, but I have some big things that happened on the show. We'll just leave it at that until I get to the spoilers. We got results for NXT Level Up, and I will end today's show with some quick predictions for WWE NXT's No Mercy, which will be happening just probably around an hour or so after I upload this this Weekender podcast. If things go as planned, you will get these predictions a little bit before they come out. But obviously, if you're listening on demand and you're listening after the show's already happened, feel free to just turn the show off right here. Turn off the Weekender, rather, after the NXT Level Up results. But that said, those are the topics for today. And I will put timestamps for spoilers. As a matter of fact, just to be safe, I'm going to actually put timestamps for the first set of topics, or the first set of results, rather, which is NWA 76. These matches have not aired yet. It was a big event with a lot of matches that will be airing on, I'm assuming, on CW and the CW app, like all the NWA Power shows have been lately. But I'm going to go ahead and give the results for NWA 76 right now. And I don't know if I want to, I mean, technically these are spoilers, but this was a big event that had some really big results. So I wanted to make sure to, you know, give my thoughts on this, and especially one major title change that I'm about to talk about right now. Spoiler alert. Obviously, if you're listening this far in, it's past the 3-minute mark. I wanted to make sure we remain spoiler free if you want to. So that said, we got NWA 76 results right now. I'm going to read off all of the winners and losers of all of these matches, and then I'm going to give you some deep dive thoughts on some of the bigger results here. So, this is NWA 76. This happened yesterday at the time of this recording, so this was on August 31st. This was from the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and to my knowledge, this has not aired at all yet. I've only seen the results online, but I've seen some of the major results being put out on, you know, social media as far as some of the stuff we're about to get to here. But, you know, that all said, I'm a little bummed out that this wasn't live. I wish we could have watched NWA 76. I know that, you know, the NWA is very hot and cold, or actually cold for the most part, if we're being honest, but, you know, it does have its strong points. There are people in the company I am a big fan of. I've talked about, you know, Kenzie Page as being like one of my favorite wrestlers out there, and she represents NWA to a really high level, in my opinion. There's other really good talents in that company, other people that have been, you know, regulars more often as well. Some people we're going to talk about in these results. So there's been people I like on the shows, but as far as like the buzz for the company, it's been fairly low in the grand scheme of things and like the wrestling landscape. stuff like that. But, you know, I was live at NWA 70 in Nashville, which I can't believe was already 6 years ago. But I was there live, and, you know, NWA had a lot of buzz back then. And that was, you know, obviously before AEW existed. And, you know, a lot has changed in the landscape of pro wrestling. But, you know, just food for thought, or just kind of makes me think a little bit. You know, it's like, you know, NWA just 5-6 years ago, their big yearly event, their you know anniversary events, had a lot more buzz to them, and you could watch them live. And now it's like they're just flying under the radar, and you really just see some stuff on social media, and people like me will talk about it. But, you know, that all said, let's get into the actual results here. But I am pulling for the NWA still. You know, we cover their shows pretty often here on the Weekender still. You know, not every single week, but when there's big stuff going on, I usually try to, you know, have it on the docket. So here are the results for NWA 76. We have Soda Pop Hendricks over Papa Don, Sean Carlson over The Rockstar, Mario Peruta and Steve Boz over Vix Viner and Tim Theory, Gags the Gimp over Alexander Lev, Jake Dumas and Zion with Austin Idol in their corner defeat Baron Von Storm and Jax Dane. Silas Mason defeats Colby Carino, that being the Thrillbilly Silas over Colby Carino. After that, we had the NWA United States Tag Team Titles on the line in a four-way match. We had the Country Gentlemen, the team of AJ and Casey Kazana, with Joe Kazana in their corner, over Daisy Kill and Talos with Vampiro in their corner, who were the champions coming in. The Fixers, the team of the Slime Balls, and Jay Bradley and Wrecking Ball Ligursky. And, you know, that was a big title change. Well, I should say big title change. It was a title change, but there's so many titles in the NWA. I don't understand why they even have U.S. tag team titles when they have world tag team titles, but it is what it is. Country Gentlemen are the U.S. tag team champions. We had the NWA World Women's Tag Team titles on the line. The It Girls, the team of Ella Envy and Mrs. Starr, they defeat the King Bees, the team of Charity King and Danny B, to become the new World Women's Tag Champs, so there's a title change there. We had the number one contendership for the NWA World Junior Heavyweight title. Jack Cartwheel defeats Alex Misery. I'm very happy to see Jack Cartwheel, you know, getting a push in the NWA. We've covered pretty much his entire career right here on the Weekender, whether it be on the indie scene in like the Texas area and stuff like that. You know, obviously his whole GCW run, he's a regular there. He's been wrestling for the NWA fairly consistently lately. He's also done tours of, like, you know, Mexico and stuff. And he's been all over the place, and he's killing it, and, you know, he's got a really bright future. As I mentioned before, you know, they got so many titles in this company, the Junior Heavyweight Championship being one of them. But Jack Cartwheel will be the number one contender for that title. At least there's plans for him in the NWA, it feels like. So that's good. And I do want the best for Jack Cartwheel. The more exposure he can get, the better, whether it's NWA or anywhere else. He's one of the people I'm talking about when I mention people, you know, like Kenzie Page, or, you know, obviously Jack Cartwheel, who I'm talking about right now, and then some others I'm about to talk about here in just a second, that are really bright spots and could be great for the future of the company. After that, we had an NWA World Women's Title number contendership. This is a Mildred Burke Invitational Battle Royal. This was Natalia Markova defeating Adriana Mosley, Big Mama, Haley J, Kayla Rossi, Kelly Madden, Kylie Page, La Rosa Negra, Lily Riz, Misty Marks, Ruthie J, Santana Garrett, and Tiffany Nieves. I like Natalia Markova as well. I've talked about her quite a bit, you know, especially when Camille was the women's champion, and I've talked at length about how great I think that she did, and how much, you know, how much growth and how talented she is, and how good she got in a short amount of time, just being thrown right into the deep end, you know, and having to learn on the job as the NWA World Women's Champion. You know, Natalia Markova was one of the women that I felt like had a shot at beating her towards the end of Camille's run, and they had some matches with one another that I thought were really good. You know, I like Markova a lot, and I think she's very marketable. I'm looking forward to Markova versus I don't want to spoil the spoiler, and we'll get to the World Women's Championship, but whoever winds up leaving this show as a World Women's Champion, I would like to see Natalia Markova wrestle for that title very soon. That said, next match, we had the Liberty Bell Brawl tag team match. This was the Immortals, Kratos and Odinson, defeating Blunt Force Trauma, the team of Carnage Damage, with Aaron Stevens in their corner. We had the NWA National Heavyweight title. This was a vacant championship. Mims defeats Brian Idol, Burchill, and Carson Drake. So Mims is the new NWA National Heavyweight Champion. That title was vacated. I'll talk about that here in just a moment. And after that, we had the NWA World Women's Championship on the line. Kenzie Page defends and retains over Maxine Paler with Father James Mitchell in their corner. Kenzie Page versus Natalia Markova, I think it's going to be a banger of a match. I think it's the right match to do for the World Women's title next. And I can't say enough good things. I think that Kenzie Page is the best current, the most valuable asset, is what I'm trying to say, for the NWA. I've said that many times. They need to continue to build around her for as long as she's available to them, in my opinion. After that, we had the NWA World Tag Team titles on the line. So we had the U.S. tag titles earlier. These are the main world titles, or world tag titles. This is Knox and Murdoch, the team of Mike Knox and Trevor Murdoch, defend and retain over the Southern Six, the team of Alex Taylor and Kerry Morton, who had won the Crockett Cup. And the main event of the show, we had the NWA World Heavyweight title. Tom Latimer defeats EC3 to become the new NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Latimer is another one of those guys who, you know, he had an underwhelming run as Bram back in the day. But he's stuck with it, and I gotta give NWA their credit. They've stuck with him, and they have slowly, I mean, really slowly when you think about it. That's one thing NWA does with some of these talents, that it's like, sometimes they wait too long, but I don't think that this was waiting too long for Latimer, to be completely honest. The time is right. EC3's title run was what it was with the World Heavyweight title. I mean, it was less notable than Tyrus's, but for the right reasons, probably. Tyrus was getting, you know, massively hated on as a longtime champion of the NWA. People just wanted to see him, you know, lose the title. EC3 having it, you know, I feel like, you know, EC3 flies really under the radar in the grand scheme of things, just in the world of wrestling nowadays. A lot of that, I think, has to do with a lot of the stigma that came off of him being, you know, one of the main people behind the whole control your narrative thing. And, you know, there was a lot of factors in that. He didn't get picked up by AEW when people kind of expected that he would. He does the show with, you know, Vince Russo now and stuff. He gets a lot of heat for that, I would imagine. But just one of those things where EC3's World Heavyweight title run, in the grand scheme of things, there wasn't much to it. I mean, he had title defenses. He had the belt for a while, but once again, the NWA is at probably, like, the peak, or the opposite of a peak. It's like the least talked about it's ever been, I feel like. And once again, big shows like NWA 76 aren't even aired live. The Crockett Cup was taped like 6 months, or I might be exaggerating, but it felt like it was forever, where the Crockett Cup got taped, that whole tournament, and we waited month after month after month before we could actually see it happen. And by then, the wrestling world has moved on, you know what I mean? But in this case, I do want to give credit to Tom Latimer, because I feel like, you know, because he got kind of not necessarily overshadowed by Camille for a while too, but like they were, you know, a part of that whole Strictly Business group with Nick Aldis, and, you know, Latimer just never really got to the tippy top of the NWA, and it's good to see that he's made it there, because he's put in the years. He's been probably, as far as the people that they currently have on their roster, probably the most consistent, like, as far as, like, a main event level guy that they've had for a while now that hasn't been the champion. So I have no problem with Tom Latimer winning this thing. So congratulations to him. You know, I honestly feel like he deserves it, and, you know, good for him. So that is NWA 76, and the last thing I want to mention is, over on Fightful.com, Rob Wilkins put together a good article over on the website. Shout out to my friend Rob. And I'm just going to read this right off of... He put together kind of a good summary of Latimer winning this and his history at the company. So it says, the wrestling veteran Latimer has not lost a match in singles competition since October 2023. His last loss was against EC3 at NWA Samhain. I believe it's pronounced Sam. It's Samhain. Or Samhain, I think, is actually how it was pronounced. That was the weirdest thing. Samhain, I'm pretty sure, is how you pronounce that. Latimer was previously the NWA National Champion, but vacated the title for the opportunity to challenge for the NWA Heavyweight Championship. Mims became the new official NWA National Champion earlier in the evening when he defeated Brian Idol, Purchill, and Carson Drake in a four-way match, which I mentioned before, but you know that being the reason that the championship was vacated and Mims being the new champion. Rob goes on to say this title win marks the fourth different championship that Tom Latimer has held since joining the company in 2019. He has been the NWA National Champion and the World Television Champion and was one half of the NWA World Tag Team Champions with Royce Isaacs. Latimer is the first UK-born wrestler to hold the title since Nick Aldis did in 2021. The NWA Heavyweight Championship was one of four title changes at the event, and I mentioned all the others already. So thank you very much to our buddy Rob Wilkins for putting together that little article, and you know that puts a bow on it. That summarizes all the work that I was just mentioning that Latimer put in to get to this point. He's held all their other major titles. He is now your NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Moving on, we have results for GCW. This is Game Changer Wrestling Live Fast, Die Young. Show happened last night on August 31st, 2024. This was from Talia Hall in Chicago, Illinois on Triller TV Plus. Not endorsed or sponsored to tell you to sign up for the pod, or sorry, for the platform. You already listened to the podcast. You already subscribed here to Fightful Select for the podcast. I'm not endorsed to tell you all to go sign up for Triller TV Plus on that platform, but it is where you can find GCW and, you know, their whole catalog, as well as a Revolver, which I'm going to have two sets of results for here in just a moment. Also, just a shout out, I haven't been able to watch the show yet, but I'll probably catch up on it and maybe talk about it next week. I know Sean Henderson Presents had a show on IWTV that I want to check out. Jack Evans, I know, wrestled on that. But we will probably cover that on next week's show, or maybe talk about it on the spotlight with Jeremy, depending on what other topics Jeremy wants to talk about on the show on Thursday. So that said, we got GCW Live Fast, Die Young. Started off with Alec Price over Bobby Flacco. Price gets the win with his springboard. It's like a 360 or 720, springboard like DDT. He's used it a few weeks now as a finisher. I love that. I love the surprise kick as well. Alec Price has got a sweet move set. Y'all know how I feel about Alec, one of my favorites in the entire game right now. And Bobby Flacco, a guy who we talked about since really, really early on in his career. Both guys have been guests on the spotlight. A lot of the people on that we're going to cover here on this show and that I've already talked about have been on the spotlight over on Fightful. So if you haven't been watching that show, I highly recommend checking it out, especially if you want interviews from a lot of the people that I talk about here on The Weekender, Alec Price and Bobby Flacco being two of them, along with someone from this next match as well. Technically Joey Janela also. I think he's been on the spotlight, but I did not interview him for that one because I wasn't available. But Griffin McCoy, I did interview. Anyway, we had Joey Janela against Griffin McCoy. Janela gets the win over McCoy. Hits a package pile driver on McCoy for a two count. Janela follows up with a running Death Valley driver into the turnbuckles. Follows up with a top rope double stomp to get the 1-2-3. Obviously, Joey Janela is going to continue to be upper level GCW, as especially with like Nick Gage not being around. No one really knows his status, when he'll be available, or if and when. Kind of what's going on with Nick Gage. Joey Janela, at least for the time being, in my opinion, is the face of Game Changer Wrestling. But it's great to see Griffin McCoy becoming more and more of a regular there. After that, we had Manders and Sawyer Rec, who are a couple in real life, if you didn't know that. They defeat Bang and Matthews, the team of August Matthews and Davey Bang, the former Bang Bros. The finish here was Sawyer Rec hitting a double chokeslam on both Matthews and Bang. Double chokeslam for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Zilla Fatu over Blake Christian. Zilla gets the win in this one after Blake goes up top. They're both on the top rope. Zilla throws Blake off the top. He does a backflip, lands on his feet. Blake jumps back up to the top rope a second time. Zilla hits him with the Samoan spike off the top rope. Blake does a backflip off the top. Zilla goes down for the pin. 1-2-3. It was a sweet finish. Interesting spot for Zilla and for Blake Christian, because Zilla has, to my knowledge, only lost the one one-on-one match in GCW, and that was to Speedball Mike Bailey. That was like last week or the week before. And that was kind of a head-scratching loss, even though Speedball is like one of the best wrestlers in the entire world, and you all know how I feel about Speedball. I literally had him voted for like 2 years in a row as my best wrestler of the year as far as like based on just consistent match quality for, you know, 365 days. For like 700 days straight, he was like my number one guy, and he's still way up there. He might even still be the number one if I really think about it. But so obviously no shade on Speedball, but it was just, you know, I didn't expect to see Zilla really lose anytime soon, really, if at all. Or maybe to someone like Blake Christian, who's a former GCW champion. But in this case, you know, Zilla gets the win again, which they're continuing to build Zilla big time. And I'd imagine he'll have a big rematch with Speedball at some point in the near future. But interesting spot for Blake Christian to be in now that he is officially, you know, he was stripped of the GCW title months ago, but now he doesn't even have the original title he was carrying around. Now that Mance Warner is the official undisputed GCW champion, and now Blake Christian's taken some losses in a row. Not used to seeing that. So we'll see how Blake Christian rebounds. After that, we had the GCW tag team titles on the line. Violence's Forever, VIF, the team of Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo. They defend and retain their titles over Mother Father, the team of Dark Sheik and Effie. The finish of this one was Sheik doing a grace driver onto Kevin Koo, but Koo had made the tag to Greene without Sheik noticing. So Greene comes up behind Sheik and does a crucifix pin to get the 1-2-3. VIF retains their titles. After that, we had Mustafa Ali versus Sidney Akeem. This one ends in a draw when Mustafa Ali goes for a inside cradle, but they both do a double pin. So both shoulders on the mat for both Akeem and Ali. So it's a double pin draw. After the match, Ali puts over Sidney Akeem on the microphone, just basically says, "For all those years, I saw them make you, you know, serve drinks to Sasha Banks. They put a mask on you, made you a superhero, and made you this and that. And, you know, now people are actually seeing what you're all about. And, you know, now the world knows how good you actually are." I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically the gist of what Ali was saying about Akeem. Really put him over on his way out of there. After that, we had Megan Bain over Miyu Yamashita. The finish of this one was Bain going for a tombstone pile driver, and Jimmy Lloyd comes from behind and hits her in the back with a chair to cause the disqualification, so Bain gets the win by DQ. After the match, both women beat up Jimmy Lloyd. Yamashita hits Jimmy in the head with a chair, and Megan follows up by hitting Jimmy with a tombstone pile driver. After that, we had Ciclope cut a promo on the mic talking about how Los Mestizos are done, and how Ciclope wants to become the GCW World Champion. He wrestles John Wade Murdoch next in a hardcore match. So we have Ciclope over JWM. The finish of this one saw JWM hit a top rope Deep South Destroyer, his version of a top rope Canadian Destroyer, through a door bridge. Ciclope totally no-sells it, hits JWM with a spine buster, and Murdoch kicks out at two. Ciclope follows up with a back elbow and then hits a top rope frog splash through a door onto JWM. So like he laid the door on top of Murdoch and then hit the frog splash through the door into the body of Murdoch. 1-2-3. Ciclope gets the win. After that, we had Kylie Rae over Brooke Havoc. The finish of this one, I wrote down La Mystica crossface because it was like the around the world setup that that Mystico does for the La Mystica. Right into the crossface, and Kylie Rae gets the tap out win over Brooke Havoc. And obviously this was huge, being, you know, in Chicago. Kylie Rae is, you know, she's obviously big all around the world of wrestling, especially the independent scene, but especially in Chicago. After that, we had the main event of the show, which was a GCW world title match. This is Mance Warner defending, retaining over Gringo Loco. Towards the end of the match, Gringo Loco's daughter is in the ring and actually hits a really nice top rope flying head scissors onto Jimmy Lloyd. So that was great to see. Crowd went nuts for that. And I would imagine that made Gringo Loco's like whole life seeing something like that. I bet he was very, very proud. The end of the match basically winds up happening is Gringo Loco's got the screwdriver that Mance Warner usually uses. And Gringo is stabbing Mance in the head with the screwdriver. Gringo goes to the outside, grabs a crowbar, and then he stabs and digs that into the head of Mance Warner. He goes up to the top rope. Mance pushes the referee into the ropes so that Gringo Loco crotches the top rope, and then Mance follows up by hitting Gringo in the head with the crowbar, and then follows up with the implant DDT and pins him. 1, 2, 3. Mance Warner is still our GCW World Champion. Moving on, we got results for Revolver. We got two shows worth of results here. First one is going to be, this is from the Wrestling Revolver. We have Fight Club. This was from Dayton, Ohio, and this was on August 24th. So this was technically last weekend, but I was able to watch the shows throughout the week, and then we're talking about it now. This is also available over on Triller TV Plus. And the way that the Fight Club show is set up, it's very similar in most ways to Bloodsport. It's a no ropes match, or no ropes setup for all these matches, but they have these chain link fences on two sides of the ring. So, you know, kind of, it's an interesting setup, and I like it a lot, actually, but it's hard to do it justice without you seeing what I'm talking about, but I'm trying to paint the best picture that I can. But basically, no ropes, but you've got chain link fence for two sides of the ring that they can use to, you know, kind of use as a weapon or to jump off of, or to, you know, stuff like that. So, anyways, the results for this show are as follows. We had Speedball Mike Bailey over Matt Mikowski. The finish of this one was a left high kick followed up by ground and pound for Speedball to get the win over Mikowski. After that, we had Matt Riddle over Damian Chambers. This match lasted like 10 seconds. It was literally the bell ringing. Matt Riddle hits a running knee to the head and then follows up with ground and pound referee stoppage. And that's the W for Matt Riddle. Very, very short work of Damian Chambers. After that, we had Victor Benjamin over Fulton. The finish of this one's kind of hard to explain, but basically what winds up happening is both guys are outside of the ring, and Victor Benjamin gets in the ring but before Fulton can, so Fulton's still, like, basically, like, his head is basically just high enough to be over the ring apron. So Victor Benjamin does this swinging head kick to Fulton as he's kind of trying to get into the ring, but his foot is, like, just level with the dude's head and neck. It's really, really hard to describe what I'm trying to, but basically a head kick on the apron got the knockout for Victor Benjamin over Fulton. After that, we had JD Griffey over Matt Fitchett. The finish of this one was, the guys were on the ground, and they're, like, doing ground reversals, going back and forth, and Griffey does a roll through into a rear naked choke and forces Matt Fitchett to tap out. So JD Griffey gets win by submission. After that, we had Steve Macklin over Atticus Kogar. The finish here was Macklin putting Atticus in a tree of woe, so, like, upside down, using that chain link cage that I'm talking, or fence that I'm talking about. And he does his tree of woe spear into that cage. Then he follows up with a ground and pound and then locks in a rear naked choke and chokes out Atticus. The referee has to stop it, so it gets win by technical submission. After that, we had Lince Dorado over Robert Martyr. The finish of this one was Lince hitting a Hurricane Rana, which sends Martyr face first into the chain link cage, and then he follows up with, like, a gory special go to sleep, so like a gory bomb set up behind his back, swings it around into a go to sleep. And then he does what I wrote down as a weasel, which is an amateur wrestling move. It's similar to a DDT. I actually used to use it a lot in amateur wrestling. It's just a super risky move. Basically, it's basically doing a DDT, but you're not spiking your opponent on your head. You're just, like, rolling backwards with them, and you wind up on top. And I used to do it all the time, like I said, in amateur wrestling, because you could do it from different positions to kind of catch people off guard. But it's super risky because you put yourself on your back if it doesn't work. So, like, you basically pin yourself if it doesn't work. That said, I like seeing it in this environment a lot. It does the weasel so that Lince can get on top of Martyr on the ground and then locks in a cross arm breaker or an arm bar, whatever you want to call it. Gets the tap out win over Martyr. So Lince Dorado gets the win by submission. After that, we had Jake Something over Braden Lee. the finish to this one was Brayden locking in an armbar, and Jake something reverses out of it, Rampage Jackson style, with a powerbomb, follows up with ground and pound and gets the referee stoppage. After that, we have Marina Shafir over Vert Vixen. The finish here was a rock bottom into Mother's Milk to get the submission win, but choked out Vert Vixen, so it was referee stoppage, technical submission, Marina Shafir via Mother's Milk. After that, we had Josh Alexander over Simon Gotch in the main event. The finish here was Alexander reversing an armbar into an ankle lock and then pulling up Gotch by the leg into a German suplex and then following up with ground and pound, and the referee stops it. So Alexander gets the win over Simon Gotch, and then he calls out Speedball Mike Bailey after the match, which leads us right into the first match of the second show, which was all in one. It was a one-day event of two shows. It was like an afternoon show that I just covered, and then that goes right into the night show, which is Revolver Taste of Truth, from the same venue, from the same location, and everything in Dayton, Ohio, also on Triller TV Plus, also on August 24th. First match follows up right where we left off. We have Speedball Mike Bailey defeating Josh Alexander. The finish here was Alexander going for the C4 spike, and Speedball reverses it by, you know, keeping the underhooks and flipping Alexander back over, you know, doing like a back body drop, but keeping the bridge in the pin with his underhooks, and pins Bailey, or Bailey pins Alexander rather, for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Marina Shafir over Damian Chambers. The finish here was a code breaker followed up by Marina jumping right up, keeping the wrist control, and locking in the Mother's Milk and forcing Damian Chambers to tap out. So Shafir via submission with Mother's Milk to get the win there. After that, we had a tag team match where Trey Miguel was the special ref. This was the Brothers of Funstruction, Ruffo and Yabba the Clown, with Violent J in their corner, over Bang and Matthews, the team of Davey Bang and August Matthews. And the finish here was a combination sidewalk slam and top rope double stomp and getting the pin on Matthews for Funstruction to get the win there. After that, we had the PWR Remix title on the line. Lince Dorado defeats Gringo Loco to become the new champion. The finish here was, there's multiple other Lince Dorados that appear. So two other people in Lince masks. One of them pulls the ref out of the ring so they can't make the three count when Gringo looked like he was about to win. Another one interferes to take out Gringo. Eventually it's a group attack by the many Linces on Gringo, and then Lince Dorado puts the Remix title around his waist, hits a top rope shooting star press onto Gringo and gets the pin to become the new champion. After that, we had a six-person tag team match where Red, the team of Alice Colon, Steve Macklin, and Dark Pledge, defeats the team of Atticus Kogar, Crash Jackson, and Casey Jacobs. The finish of this one is Macklin spearing Jackson through a door in the corner, and right after that happens, the Pledge, who has a head full of skewers from earlier in the match, does a schoolboy roll-up and pins Casey Jacobs. Get the 1-2-3. So once again, the Pledge pins Casey Jacobs, and the team of Red gets the win there. After that, we had the JCW American title on the line in a six-way scramble match. It was Caleb Conley defending, retaining over Facade, Fulton, Jeffrey John, Robert Martyr, and Simon Gotch. I'm going to do my best to explain what happens here. So the finish was Madman Fulton hitting a double choke slam onto Conley and Facade, and then he pins both of them. But Conley, right before Fulton can make the pin, Conley gets between Fulton and Facade. So technically, Conley's technically pinning Facade as Fulton is pinning both of them. So Conley gets the win because technically his pin over Facade is what is the deciding pinfall technically. So Conley barely gets out of there with that JCW American title. After that, we had Matt Riddle over Myron Reed. The finish here was Myron getting caught with a flying RKO, followed up by a more traditional RKO, followed up by a Brostone for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the Revolver title on the line in a three-way elimination match. This was Ace Austin over Jake Something and Robbie Eagles. What winds up happening to do the eliminations here are Jake Something hits Into the Void to eliminate Eagles, and then Ace Austin eliminates Jake Something by hitting the Fold and getting the pinfall victory to retain the title. And the main event of the show, we had a Bare Boards and Bull Rope death match. So that's pretty much how it sounds. Like, the whole ring canvas was replaced by wooden boards, and they were connected by a bull rope. The finish here was Jake Crist's wife comes out and attacks Palmer because Palmer had zip-tied Crist to the ring. Jake Crist's wife is able to cut Jake from the zip ties, from the ropes, to free him. But as that's happening, Palmer is, like, kind of beating down his wife. So Jake Crist comes up from behind him and, like, fish hooks his mouth to pull him up off of his wife. And then he hits a tombstone piledriver through the ring. There was, like, some boards missing from the ring, and he literally just tombstones him down into the bottom through the ring, and then picks him up, puts him on top of the boards in the ring, and pins him. 1-2-3. Jake Crist gets the win in the main event. And as I mentioned, all of those Revolver results for both those shows, as well as the GCW results, all available on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got results for MLW. This is Major League Wrestling Summer of the Beasts. This was live on YouTube, available completely for free on the MLW YouTube channel. This was from August 29th, so just a couple days ago. And in, like, I think in 2 weeks is when they're going to be in Atlanta at Center Stage. So there's a chance I'll be at that. I'll try to get probably someone from MLW on the spotlight maybe the week after the event. I'll talk to Jeremy. We'll see if we can get you some MLW talk. We had Cruel on recently, who's going to be challenging for the title at the Atlanta show. So, you know, we had him on really recently, so I doubt, you know, don't want to bug him too much and ask him to come back again so soon, but I really hope he wins the MLW world title. I think that'd be very cool. And he was a great guy. I'm sure he'd love to come on and talk to us again sometime soon, but, you know, I'll talk to Jeremy. We'll talk to maybe some people that, you know, we'll figure something out, but we'll probably get you some MLW talk around the time of the Atlanta show, probably right after, because as far as guests, just so y'all know, the plans for the next couple weeks, if you enjoy the spotlight and want to check these shows out, the this week, I believe, unless something changes, it should be Psycho Boy Fodder and Angelina Love returning to talk with us this week. Psycho Boy's coming off of a big match with Bully Ray, and he's a great dude, so I'm looking forward to talking to him, and so is Angelina. She's great as well. I love the two of them, so really looking forward to catching up with them. That should be this week on the spotlight. And then the next week, we've got Darian Bengston locked in, who is the TWE champion, who we talk about a lot here on the spotlight, who also recently making some waves in Ring of Honor. So those are the next couple weeks. But then the week after, I've left open to hopefully get y'all some MLW talk. That all said, these are results for MLW Summer of the Beasts, once again available for free over on the Major League Wrestling YouTube channel. We had three dark matches to start the show off, including the guy I was just talking about, our boy Mads Cruel Kruger. He defeats Mr. Thomas. We had Dummy Exo over Miyu Yamashita and Bobby Fish over Timothy Thatcher. Once the actual show started, we had Opera Cup match, which was non-title, so Bad Dude Tito does not defend his championship, but he does get the win to advance. We had Bad Dude Tito over Alex Kane, former MLW World Champion. The finish of this one, I just wrote down Piper Brett WrestleMania finish. Basically, Alex Kane has the fade to black, his rear naked choke, locked in on Bad Dude Tito, and Tito runs up the ropes and does, like, the backflip and pins Alex Kane. Like I said, if you're familiar with that famous finish of Bret Hart and Roddy Piper from WrestleMania, you know what I'm talking about. After that, we had the MLW World Women's Featherweight title on the line. Jannai Kai defends and retains over Hanako. The finish of this one was the running super kick into the corner, followed up with a belly down dragon sleeper with the hands clasped for that extra torque. That's what I mean to say. Jannai Kai with an extra torque with the hands clasped, belly down, locking in that dragon sleeper. It looks totally brutal, in a good way. It looks like she's out there just beating the hell out of these chicks, which is exactly what they're trying to do. Like, the presentation of Jannai Kai, I think, has been done very, very well by MLW. She's someone I've been a fan of for quite a while, and we followed her indie run for years right here on The Weekender. So, yeah, good stuff. They're making Kai look like a killer. After that, we had another Opera Cup quarterfinal match. This was TJP defeating Tom Lawler, who had St. Laurent in their corner. TJP gets the win after hitting a final cut and then a running knee to the head for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Matt Riddle over Matthew Justice. The finish here was Justice was holding a chair and Riddle basically did like a Van Damminator, but like with his knee, so like a knee to the head into the chair, or knee to the chair into the head, rather, of Matthew Justice, and then followed up by hitting a bro stone onto a chair for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Paul London over Brett Ryan Goslin, who had Bobby Fish in his corner. London gets the win with a top rope mushroom stomp, which is like the hunched over double stomp for the three count. After the match, he gets attacked by Brett Ryan Goslin and Bobby Fish, and then Brock Anderson and CW Anderson come down and look like they're going to make the save, and then they also keep the beatdown going on Paul London, which then leads to the next match, which is the Andersons, Brock Anderson and CW Anderson, over Jay Lyon and Love Doug. The finish of this one was Brock grabbing Lyon by the legs and doing like the slingshot, the catapult, and basically catapults him right up into CW Anderson, who hits a super kick, and then they pin Lyons for the 1-2-3. I like the team of the Andersons a lot. I think it's actually really smart to pair Brock and CW up. And it's kind of funny because like all these years, everyone always kind of joked about that, the fact that CW Anderson wasn't an actual Anderson, but now he's actually teaming with a real Anderson, and they team well. I definitely changed their finisher. It's not like it looked bad. I changed the finisher, but everything else, I think it's smart to pair the two of them together for both guys. I think it's going to be beneficial. After that, we had another Opera Cup quarterfinal match. This was Kenta over Akira. The finish of this one was, earlier in the match, Akira actually went for a go to sleep himself, but Kenta wound up catching his leg. But at the actual end of the match, what winds up happening is Kenta just slapping the hell out of Akira. Akira's asking for more, so Kenta hits him with a left high kick, then hits him with a go-to-sleep and pins him to advance to the next round of the Opera Cup. After that, we had a four-way match, which was Jimmy Lloyd versus Little Guido versus LSG versus Nola Catano. This one ends up a no contest when the Doomsday Countdown clock, which we've been seeing for a little while in MLW, counts down and hits zero, similar to the Jericho Countdown, which was a massive success, and in my opinion, the greatest debut in the history of the WWE. But similar vibes here, which I really, really thought was smart. I liked the presentation of this a lot. Doomsday clock hits zero. Dijak comes out. He is what this Doomsday clock has been all about. Comes out and just beats up everyone. He's got St. Laurent with him as well. After that, we had the MLW World Tag Team titles on the line. Contra Unit, Kwan and Minoru Suzuki, they defeat Cozy Max, the team of Akamura and Satoshi Kojima. Kojima, of course, also the MLW World Heavyweight Champion. Contra Unit is the new tag team champions. The way that this goes down is Kwan does the poison mist to the face of Akamura, and Suzuki hits Akamura with a God-style pile driver and pins him. After the match, Jannai Kai and Cruel come out to the ring. So, of course, Jannai, the World Women's Featherweight Champion, now Kwan and Suzuki, the tag team champions. Since Kojima is the World Heavyweight Champion, his World Heavyweight title belt was out there in the ring too, which Cruel holds up. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, Cruel versus Kojima is coming up in Atlanta. And if if I was making a bet on that match, I would bet on Gruel. Even though the one thing worth keeping in mind, and this isn't any spoiler, this isn't anything that hasn't been reported or whatever, he said it himself on the record, on our show, on the spotlight, unless something's changed in like the last week, Gruel is wrestling in MLW without a contract or on like a, you know, like a handshake agreement, you know, like per appearance contract, technically speaking. But he's not like locked down long term to MLW. So that's really the only reservation I feel like they might have in making him their world champion. But if they have, you know, here's the thing. Gruel is a guy of his word, and he said the same thing on our show, is, you know, he's not going to ever just like leave them high and dry. He's not going to just like bail on plans that they have. But he is keeping his options open. So it's one of those things where like, is MLW going to go all the way with Gruel? Because, you know, because they should, based on the story and everything. Although Matt Riddle has been built as the next champion for a while as well. But I could see Riddle versus Gruel. Maybe they make Gruel like the short-term champion. I don't know. If they got Gruel long-term, though, like if his per appearance, you know, thing they figured out and he's going to be there for a while, I don't know. I could, as a fan of Gruel, I want to see Gruel get this MLW championship at the end of the day. But really good setup there for Contra Unit. And then the main event of the show, we had a non-title Opera Cup quarterfinal match. This is Mystico, which he's not putting the title on the line, but he does advance. Mystico defeats Atlantis Jr., who had Jesus Rodriguez in his corner. The finish of this one was a Canadian Destroyer followed up by a top rope Swanton Bomb and getting the 1-2-3 to advance in the next round of the Opera Cup. So those were the quarters. So the semis, let's see, who do we have still here? We have Bad Dude Tito, TJP, Kenta, and Mystico. So I'm going to do a little bracketology here. I don't know how the brackets work out. I don't have them in front of me. But of the four people that are left, I'll just pick who I think is going to win now. Let's see. We got Tito, TJP. I don't think it's going to be TJP. Kenta doesn't really need it. That's a tough one. That's tough to make a call on this. I don't think Mystico really needs it. I think Bad Dude Tito probably needs it the most, but like he's got a belt already too. That's tough. That's tough. Anyways, MLW doing great stuff, and as I said, there's a good chance I'll wind up being at that show at Center Stage in Atlanta. Even if I'm not, I'll watch it live on YouTube. So once again, just keep a lookout. I'll try to have some more MLW content and stuff for y'all on Fightful platforms. Moving on, got some WWE NXT spoilers / NXT / TNA spoilers. So we're going to go ahead and make a timestamp here, 48 minutes. And basically, so, spoiler alert. To my knowledge, at least at the time of me recording this, I cannot find anyone who has leaked the actual full match spoilers, the results of the TNA tapings from Louisville, Kentucky on the 31st for yesterday. But we do have some big news coming out of those shows that I am going to read out right now. I'm reading this via Colin Tessier, who is someone who we've interviewed for the Spotlight. Really good dude. This is technically off of WrestleZone.com. I did see Jeremy Lambert had put together something for Fightful as well, but I wanted to show Colin a little love today. And also, you know, WrestleZone's an OG site. You know, I don't use them a whole lot nowadays. I'm not, like, as tapped into, like, always looking out for wrestling news as I used to be, but back in the day I used to be on WrestleZone religiously, so I want to give them some shout outs today as well. WrestleZone's been in the game a very long time doing what they're doing. Gotta respect the longevity there, and Colin's a good dude. So I'm actually just gonna literally just read out Colin's the majority of Colin's article here on WrestleZone.com, but keep in mind that some of this stuff is also kind of via Fightful and via Fightful Select, because that led to some of this news, which eventually wound up being true. So I'm just going to go ahead and read some spoilers here for TNA. It says, once again, via Colin Tessier, it says, following TNA emergence, TNA held television tapings at Old Forester's Paris Town Hall in Louisville, Kentucky on August 31st. According to fans in attendance, NXT's Ariana Grace appeared at the tapings. And this is my own side note here from me. I know that some of these things I'm going to mention, Fightful Select did have reports on saying, like, hey, these people are being heavily rumored to be appearing at these tapings, somewhat of a spoiler alert before this stuff even happened. So, of course, credit to Fightful Select right here where you're listening to this show, where a lot of this kind of, a lot of the seeds for this stuff winds up getting planted, you know what I mean? So, so Ariana Grace appeared at the tapings. Additionally, moving on with what Colin's saying, additionally, Carmen Petrovic appeared at the tapings as well. She challenged Jordynne Grace for the Knockouts World Championship. NXT and TNA have increasingly been working together in recent months. Grace challenged Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship at NXT Battleground, while Joe Hendry has been appearing frequently on NXT programming. Hendry will challenge Ethan Page for the NXT Championship at NXT No Mercy. Likewise, Zachary Wentz will face Wesley at the Premium Live event. TNA's Rosemary appeared on the August 27th episode of NXT. At the previous set of tapings, Riley Osborne, Wolfgang, and Dante Chen competed. Osborne qualified for the Ultimate X match at TNA Emergence, which was ultimately won by Wentz. So thank you very much to Colin for, you know, putting that all together for us in a very easy, digestible way for me to kind of get that all out to y'all. And so that's basically the spoilers that I've got for TNA up to this point. But more crossovers there. Good to see Ariana Grace and Carmen Petrovic, two women who, you know, we've covered quite a bit here on the Weekender, you know, NXT Level Up. And I love the kind of pipeline right now, Level Up and TNA kind of working together, NXT and TNA working together. And, that's a pretty good segue, because my next set of results is actually going to be results for NXT Level Up, and then we're going to roll on into No Mercy predictions, and I will get on out of here. So we're going to hit you with everything kind of all tied together there. We got, as I just mentioned, we had the TNA spoilers just then, and then we're going to go back to back to back, TNA, NXT, and No Mercy, which is kind of a combination of everything there. So as far as the results for NXT Level Up, we had two matches and a backstage segment this week. First match was, just for the record, this was aired on August 30th, 2024. I watched it on Hulu. That's where I recommend y'all check the show out as well. We had Hank Walker and Tank Ledger. Hank and Tank. They defeat Uriah Connors and Kale Dixon. Hank and Tank, unironically, one of my favorite tag teams in WWE. I love these guys. I've been talking about it for months now. They give me Public Enemy, High Voltage, Natural Disasters, like the vibes of like all these old school tag teams, like all put together, a lot of which were like some of my favorites in like WCW. Like anything you can do that reminds me of the Public Enemy or remind me of like Mean Mike and Tough Tom, Disorderly Conduct, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like, you know, I very much appreciate that stuff. And I think both guys are very good. And I think it benefits both of them by them being a team together right now. And I honestly think that they could be World Tag Team Champions on Raw or SmackDown. With the right push, you know, things take time, I get that, and, you know, right place, right time, and all that, but I think with the right push and just consistency, I see a really bright future for these guys as a team, I really do. That said, the finish of this match was the collision course, which is their double team running power slam and running crossbody to get the win there on Dixon to get the pin. After that, we had a backstage segment where Cutler James is talking to Gallus, all three members, and he lost to Mark Coffey a couple weeks ago and basically wants another shot at him, but he's got respect for Gallus. He's trying to kind of get in their good graces, and Wolfgang says, if you can beat me, we'll give you a rematch with Mark. So that leads into the main event of the show, which was Wolfgang defeating Cutler James. The finish here was Cutler going for a shell-shocked finisher, and which, you know, y'all might remember from the Ryback days. But he's going for shell-shocked, and Wolfgang rakes his eyes to get out of it. Hits him with a what I always call the lifting spear. You know, he like runs at him, but kind of picks him up off the ground while he's hitting that spear. A little bit different of a variation, which I like that he's not just doing it the same way as everyone else. So anyway, eye rake from the shell-shocked. Hits a lifting spear, then goes up top, hits a swanton bomb, and gets the win Wolfgang over Cutler James. So as per normal, two solid matches and a backstage segment. So, you know, in recent weeks, we've been getting like multiple backstage segments and some longer matches and stuff like that too, which I really like. They're continuing more and more character progression and stuff like that. But at the same time, I get it, because depending on what else they show during the show, like the Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-view stuff that they put in, that also dictates how much stuff they can put on, you know, original content they can put on for Level Up, of course. So that said, let's move right into the NXT No Mercy predictions. We got six matches here in front of me. I'm going to refresh the page in case there's anything that I'm missing or was added last minute. Okay, I think this is the full card, at least as of like an hour before the show's going to start. Maybe not even an hour. You might be getting this like right around the time the show starts, actually. But just for the record, I'm putting it out there for y'all. So, we've got Wes Lee versus Zach Wentz. Battle of former Rascal Brothers. I'm going to take Wes Lee in that one. We've got Andre Chase and Ridge Holland representing Chase University, defending the NXT Tag Team Championships against Nathan Frazer and Axiom. I'm going to take Chase University to retain there. Maybe a turn between Axiom and Frazer, potentially. I feel like they've been building that for a while or teasing that. We got Kalani Jordan defending the NXT Women's North American Championship against Wendy Chu. I'm actually going to take Wendy Chu. I'm going to take Wendy Chu to win that one to become the new North American champion. We got Obafemi. I combined both of his names. Obafemi defending the NXT North American Championship against Tony D'Angelo. I'm going to take Femi to retain there. We got Roxanne Perez defending against Jada Parker, defending her NXT Women's Championship. I'm going to take Roxy to retain here. We're at a point now where, like, whenever Roxanne loses, she's obviously heading to Raw or SmackDown full-time. So, I mean, I could see that happening. Like, I could see Jada Parker beating her, like, basically for that reason. And also, Jada deserves... nothing against Jada Parker. I don't want it to come off that way, you know what I mean? But Roxanne Perez, like, should be the NXT Women's Champion as long as she's there, I feel like. But once she loses, then it frees her to go Raw or SmackDown. So I really feel like it more depends on that than anything else. But for now, I'm just going to say Roxy retains the NXT Women's Championship. Then the main event of the show, we have Ethan Page defending the NXT Championship against Joe Hendry. Truth Williams is the special guest referee. My prediction is that Josh Alexander gets involved in this one. I have said from the second that Josh Alexander turned heel by low-blowing and attacking Joe Hendry the way that he did in the multi-man match at Slammiversary. Hendry and Alexander have been in a feud with one another in TNA, which could easily carry over into NXT because the relationship both shows have. But what I was getting at is, I've said on this show and on the spotlight many times, when Josh Alexander turned heel, the first thing I thought was, ooh, Alexander should win the TNA championship, because then he'd be the champion on TNA. Ethan Page is the champion on NXT. You have the North running both shows, and then both can appear on each show, and you have like the two-man power trip on both shows. They can tag team when they need to, but they can be singles when they need to defend their titles, but they can help each other retain their championships. And I feel like we can move a step closer to that scenario potentially. Because once again, you already have the reason for Alexander to want to stop Hendry from winning because of his own personal feud and vendetta against him in TNA. So he doesn't want Hendry to win the NXT championship. And he's also at the same time helping Ethan Page. And then Page maybe returns the favor by helping Alexander win the TNA championship in the near future. So I do see a scenario in the very near future, I really do, where Ethan Page is the NXT champion and Josh Alexander is the TNA champion, and the North is running both shows, two-man power trip style. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to follow me on X at FightTalk_. Hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com and use code FightTalk at IndependentWrestling.tv. I know I didn't cover any IWTV today, but like I said, I plan on watching the Sean Henderson Presents show that went up the other day, so, you know, probably talk about that. But whether it's that or anything else, check out IWTV, use code Fight Talk to let them know that I sent you their way. And also, as I mentioned plenty of times, please check out the Spotlight. It's live every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the main Fightful YouTube channel. If you can't make it there live, I know it's a really early show, especially if you're all on the West Coast. I don't expect anyone from the West Coast to be there live at, 5:30 in the morning. But check the show out on demand. I appreciate everyone who tunes in, leaves comments, and all that kind of stuff. So happy Labor Day. Hope all y'all either, have the day off work or at least have like a chill day or, hanging out with friends, hanging out with family, whatever it is. I appreciate y'all, whether it's, the stuff I do on the Spotlight or the stuff right here on the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I can't say enough. I really appreciate y'all. So that said, I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.